Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we realize your presence and thank you for your presence, knowing you are here to turn our hearts back to the fathers, even as the scripture has said, and Brother Branham said, the Elijah for this hour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God having descended to bring us the true revelation of that word as it came from Paul. And we trust this morning we shall have a true understanding of what Paul was saying, and also that in scripture which Paul used based from the Old Testament, and all those things that you showed him, Lord. We do not desire to go beyond that. We just want to stay with what is for this hour. We appreciate so much if you would help us, making all these things clear and going deep within our souls and changing our very lives. And lastly, causing our bodies to conform, Lord, to the perfect configuration of what you wanted in the original. And we shall certainly have it, because we know this is the promise of this hour given to us. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to look at the message leadership, which is the last sermon that Brother Branham preached at the West Coast. We already took Things That Are to Be, which was the first sermon, actually, sometime previously, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. And now we're looking at this one. And before we start to read, we want to realize that Brother Branham had already brought a message to the Full Gospel businessmen who sponsored him or gathered under Brother Jack Moore in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he preached on the sermon, Doing God a Service Apart from His Will, which was about 2 hours and contained some of the most tremendous quotes that I have ever heard or you will ever hear, and also some of the strictest and deepest admonition, which also was 100% judgmental and could well be corrective if they had taken the correction. Now, he's over here at the West Coast, and he is dealing with the Full Gospel businessmen there after supper, I guess it is. I kind of forget. I think tables are all out there and all. And bringing them, which would be his closing message, actually, to any people whatsoever. Now, we know that Brother Branham on more than one occasion said that all the churches, organizations, denominations were actually close to him, except perhaps one or two little churches that would sponsor him, or maybe sometime a few churches get together, even against the will of their denomination or organization, and just have a little meeting, paying no attention to Brother Branham, just hoping that his ministry, which was so tremendous, would bring people in, people would be saved, and then they'd come to their churches and they'd take them from there. The same as this fellow Roy Weed one time said concerning Brother Branham. Well, he said, we don't believe what he said, but long as the people come in and get saved, well, we'll take it from there. And, of course, that was a matter then of using Brother Branham, the prophet of God, vindicated, Elijah of this hour in the human flesh. That's just pretty well like the people on the last day and coming before the white throne. He will say, I never knew you, you used me. And now I'm going to demand pay for my hire. And so they are cast into the lake of fire, having also already gone through the great tribulation, many of them perhaps even being martyrs. I really don't know too much about that, because I don't see foolish virgin thrown into the lake of fire. I see them in the tribulation, but coming forth under a special grace, a period of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these four gospel businessmen, Brother Branham mentioned quite some time ago, I'm sure you'll find it on a tape also, it's not just a private conversation, he told them that when they organized, he would have to leave them. And I was sitting with him in Sambo's restaurant on Miracle Mile in Tucson, and I handed him the Four Gospel Businessmen magazine, which on the book had set forth now their creeds and their dogmas, which absolutely demand that you believe, number one, in a trinity, which is paganism and idolatry. Now, I want you to notice something here. Businessmen have organized in the denominational churches The Catholic Church has used them and are using them, Knights of Columbus and all these various ones. And the Protestants also organized under Fishers of Men. And their idea is this. Look, the clergy is not doing the job. God's work is not being done. So therefore, we are going to elect ourselves to do the work which these clergymen cannot do, the so-called fivefold ministry. We will simply bypass them and we'll take over. Now, that's the same as when women talked to me in the Carolinas, and I said, why did you women go down and become missionaries? Well, she said, Brother Vail, the thing is the men wouldn't go. I said, great. Have you ever heard the scripture that said when Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth harvesters? I said, you realize this is like a man with a big field of wheat, and you're supposed to come to him and say, sir, your crop is ready for harvesting. I pray that you will send laborers out there and get your crop in. That's a paradox. You ever heard one? I said, did you women pray? She said, no. I said, there you are. Now, these people have the idea that God is exactly fine. His word is exactly fine. But the people that God is dealing with are a bunch of dum-dums and dodos. And a bride, if he has one, is a bimbo. She's a good-looking floozy and a prostitute. Purveyor of her own flesh to men. Now, these people shows you they don't have an inkling concerning predestination. They don't understand election. They don't understand foreknowledge. They haven't got a clue about God and his family. And they're divided into two camps. They're divided into two camps of the Jesus only, which have very few, and the Trinity, which have a lot. And as I was saying about the Trinitarians, a group of businessmen positively start their creed and their dogma, and you cannot belong to them unless you believe in a Trinity. Now listen to me carefully. They are what? Tell me. Businessmen. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S-M-E-N. Businessmen. You understand? Business and religion. Right? Right? That's exactly right. Now what at the end time? You can neither buy nor sell. Huh? What's that got to do with religion? Nothing. It's commerce. So the whole system is a golden calf system and has nothing to do with God. He's merely a figurehead. He's merely a convenience. Right. He's nothing but a blarney stone. He has no real relevance. Because it's business. I should have tumbled this years ago, but I wasn't in the know because Brother Branham hadn't told us. Years ago, they had an organization whereby all the Protestants and any Trinitarian, long as you signed that you were a Trinitarian, you could buy goods at 20% or 30% off. It was supposed to be subsidized, and I think it was. Business. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we'll do business. Come and sign on the line, become an idolater, hallelujah. Open the gates of hell, partake of the poison. For a dollar, anybody bid a dollar, dollar, come and go, dollar, $5, $10? I don't trust people who talk about God anymore in business. That's why Brother Branham said, if you work for a man and you talk about Jesus Christ on the job, you ought to be fired. You give him an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Unless the boss comes to you and says, I'd like to talk about the Lord. And you better know what he's got up his sleeve at that time, too. Businessmen. Full gospel businessmen. They sold out to their creeds and dogmas, one of which is idolatry. Now, the Jesus only have not followed because they're not that big. But no doubt they got something in the brew somewhere, and I'm not interested. So now you got businessmen, and those oneness guys, they run to the Trinity. and hobnob with them, which is fine. Who gives a rip what they do? Birds of a feather. Now, oneness, Jesus only, is wrong. Brother Branham said so. But evidently, most of the Branhamites can't read. But when they hear Brother Branham say it, there's nothing in here to receive it. Because they don't believe it. All right. What did Brother Branham say? The great revelation under the seven seals. And remember, Melchizedek was part of it. Confirming and corroborating by thus saith the Lord. And the Holy Spirit coming in the form of heavenly messengers. Positively opening the door and approving Brother Branham what he taught long, long time ago concerning Melchizedek. Without father and mother, there was only one, because Jesus had a father and mother. He had an earth, he had a heavenly one, then he had a earthly mother. Heavenly father, earthly mother. So, all right. The oneness are wrong. The Trinitarians are wrong. He said we stand in between. And he spoke all the time concerning the fact that after God, there was nothing there in the time of the existence of God alone. He said, not even an atom. There was nothing there. Then that light formed, so therefore the light forming must have been formed from something, because you can't form something from nothing. The word is not create. Later on, you'll find that God creating himself with the form of human flesh, that starts with an egg and the sperm. But that one which was formed to take that body which was created through fresh egg and sperm, coming by the powers of the factory and chemical processes of the Virgin Mary. That one was way back there, and that was the Son of God, and they talked. And God created all things by that Son of God. It was not the Son per se that did the creating, though he certainly did. Huh? But it was God in him. It was the God that did it. Therefore, you have a perfect understanding of Scripture. But you cannot tell people that. Now, Brother Branham is standing before these people that have sold themselves out to the golden calf. They've usurped the ministry that God said in the church of fivefold. Therefore, would it be possible that Demas Shakarian could possibly listen to Brother Branham? No! He was already sold on a dead man, Charles Price, which I knew well. I even lived right beside Charles Price's personal business agent, Charlie Jackson. When I asked Charlie Jackson, how would you compare, because you were the aide-de-camp to General Booth, how would you compare General Booth to Charles Price? He said, Brother Vail, I'll tell you what I tell everybody. General Booth was the only man fit to polish Dr. Price's shoes. This man knew a lot of people. He worked with Charles Price. I knew Charles Price. I knew his daughters. Not like the back of my hand, but I knew them. Now, the point is this, having been with Charles Price and with Brother Branham, I would say that Charles Price was a genius, which he was. He was a man who had so much time for everything, I don't know where it came from and where it went, and yet he could rest. He was a fabulous person. But alongside William Branham, no way, shape, or form, because William Branham, face to face, Moses, Paul, William Branham. Mrs. McPherson died. Dr. Price died. They died young. Right afterward, Brother Branham came on the scene. I honor Dr. Charles Price. I have nothing against him. But having read his writings over many years, and finally when he was more or less through preaching, because he had a great ministry, he did what everybody else does. As soon as you got a big ministry and it begins to peter out, you go to writing. You go to becoming an authority. You are not an authority unless it is that way Thus saith the Lord. And the greatest authority was in three prophets. Moses, Paul, William Branham. You see, what do you do with Jesus? You discount him because he was the builder of the house, of which Moses, Paul, and William Branham were mere draftsmen, laying out the word of the house plan for the ultimate architect. In other words, flunkies. Would you make them more? You better not. If God makes them more, that's his business, and I know he does because his language is far more beautiful than mine. They're called prophets, apostles. So he's addressing these people that began to usurp authority and do the job for God. And how was it to be done? Money, 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 money. Come, said the full gospel and businessman, see how God has blessed me. Ah, I'm a wealthy man. I have this world's goods. I have tithed, I have given, and the increase is abundant. Now, wouldn't you like to be like us? Come and join us. Money, 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 money. First step to the Antichrist running the world. Money, 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 money. Bring on the gold. Rescue the perishing, perishing in debts. Rescue the nation 40 generations down the line, having spent all the kids' inheritance and completely bankrupt at this very hour. And nobody knows where to turn to tax more of our dollars away. Because we're getting greedier and greedier every minute. And every time the stupid presidents acquiesced to Congress and said, let us raise the taxes to balance the budget, they say, he, what a sucker. Oh, they've always been suckers. And this is a bigger sucker than any. Even Reagan got messed up. Eisenhower was the last man to balance the budget. And the funny thing was he did it under a Jew. From that time on, it's just been mayhem and chaos. And every time they raise the taxes, the Congress laughs and laughs and says, more money to spend, more money for our drunken brawls and sprees and giveaway programs. Amen. They're too busy examining the sex life of a louse or a serpent or something, giving hundreds of thousands of dollars while people go hungry. Don't you see what I'm talking about? This group here is condemned. That everything is money. Now that's what you're looking at when Rome shells out is for one reason, to take over. And Brother Branham and these guys boosted, all these guys like Oral Roberts and everyone else, where their money went, they never gave it to Brother Branham. He wouldn't take it anyway. Their money went into a rat hole and a sinkhole because they wanted dividends back. And the dividends back is a twofold more child of hell for all their proselytizing. So now he's standing before them, and he's going to talk to them. Now the point is, what did he say? This is going to be exciting. How will he place himself before these men? As he did to Demas Shikarian, had a word from the Lord for him, and Demas, I wasn't there, but Brother Billy Paul told me. He stood afar off. His dad would not let him get near. And he said Demas hung his head and dropped a couple of tears, shuffled his feet in the sand, and walked off. He should have kicked his shoes off. He was on holy ground, didn't even know it. Now, that may be stretching it, but it's a little bit of a, what do you want to call it? Little illustration. Now, Brother Branham gets before these people here, who have bypassed the ministry. Now, when they bypassed the ministry, they said, we are going to do what is said here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Now, if you went to those guys, now Demas is dead, but if you go to those guys and you see, are you telling me that these men here have failed and are failing and you are fulfilling it? Well, you now are the representatives of the Holy Ghost and you will bring a bride to perfection? And I think they grin their lovely gold tooth or platinum tooth grin. And that's their answer. Yeah, Yahweh, me. I don't know if we'll get to it. Now, if I get to Timothy this morning, and you'll begin to understand some of these things from the Bible. All right, now, Brother Branham is talking, and he says here on the bottom of the page, paragraph 5, we want to say we've had a wonderful time coming across the hill and the meetings. In other words, getting into California. Last night we had a wonderful time up there with the brethren at the other chapter. So, and then Brother, the man behind this all really is Brother Williams, who died quite some time ago. And so I had a great crowd out and wonderful attendance, the people so reverent and nice. So it makes me feel real good to be a part of the full gospel businessmen. Now remember I told you I presented him with that little book with all their creeds and dogmas and the way to come into their organization. I said, Bill, didn't you say that when they organized you'd have to leave? He said, yes. I said, well, would you like to read this? Or have me read it? He said, you read it. I read it. He said, you mind if I have it? I said, that's why I brought it. The die was cast. From that moment, he was no longer a part of them. He went to them. What will he say? How good did he really feel? Did he feel real good because he knew this was the final straw? He had absolutely no place to go. No church. No men outside the church. The talk's so big that we're the ones that's going to bring it to pass because the ministry's flip-flopped and failed. And now money, the golden calf steps in. How much God? How much a part is the prophet? Well, he's no part. But he's there fulfilling his invitation in his last days on earth. That's the way it is. Paul had to be amongst all the stuff he had too. I have a message, he says. I feel from God. It's a little odd to some people, but I can't help being any more than just what I am. I don't mean to be different. It's just that I'm living at a changing time. Now, what's the changing time? As long as you're building the wall one straight way, it's all fine. The bricklayers can go right down the road. But when you have to turn the corner, that's where things change. And you're not building a wall. We're building a house, you see, so these turns have to come. Now, you can't argue what he's saying there. If you build a house, it's not just one great big wall, unless it's made out of some kind of rubber material that you can suddenly just bend it with four corners and seal the one corner and cut some doors and windows. He's talking about bricks, though. We're talking about one at a time. And he said, you come to a corner. And in building a house, that absolutely has to come. They came in the age of Martin Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal age, and it's here again. So it's hard to turn the corners. Now, how is it hard to turn a corner? Hard for the people. It's not hard for God. It can't be hard for the messenger. Well, he's different. But you can't look at him. He's talking to these gospel businessmen. They've organized. They've shown their colors. He knew them inch by inch. He's hard for you birds, you guys. But I'm so thankful to God, even though how rough it's been, the people have responded 100%. Ask the question, what people? Is he telling them they respond 100%? Well, if they did, their wives didn't. They laughed them to scorn. And the men went along with their little sex symbols. Their little harlots with filthy spirits on them. Aren't you glad, you men, your wives don't have filthy spirits on? You're sleeping with harlots? You ought to think about it. we're very thankful to each one of you. Now, Brother Branham categorically says we're living in a changing time. It's time to change the structuring, the building of the house, whose house we are. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and begin to notice something here. Paul is mentioning in the 3rd chapter the schisms within the church where men are determining of themselves to pull away people to their own particular, peculiar part of this building, which is the true bride church, if it is possible. Now, in their minds, all's fair in love and war. In their minds, they feel they have a right to do this. They have a right to cause this problem. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm so-and-so. Now, Paul says, there's only one way you can make this stick. You cannot identify each of these people as an authority or the master draftsman under the master architect. Now watch, and I'll prove it here. He said, for second verse, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. What kind of a house do you have with divisions? Part of a wall, a great big gap, some protuberance out here that looks like a cow shed or an outhouse or something. Try to put a roof on, there's a great big hole. Part of it's tin, part of it's shingles, part of it's thatch. What kind of a mess? For while one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted Apollos water. Now notice in there, Paul does not say that Apollos planted. He does not say that Cephas planted. He says that God planted. But he also said, you can call anybody your teacher and have 1,000 of them, but there is only one Father in the gospel, that's me. He said, you only got one Father. In other words, I carry the seed word. The seed word I carried, thereby were you watered, if you had that germ in you. Now, he that planted and he that watereth are one. Apollos at that time evidently was one with him. But I can tell you Barnabas wasn't. Barnabas tried to have Timothy circumcised by hook and by crook, and Paul said, ow! Oh, you're not supposed to do that, Brother Bailey. You're supposed to pray and be sweet and kind. Yeah, so you can infect somebody else out. After the first or second admonition, rejected as a heretic. This fellow already proved he was heretical. Wanting a little Greek boy circumcised like a Jew. Just how much did he have of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to ask you. Now, don't try to... You say, well, Brother, they were separated by the Holy Ghost, and God said so, did he? So what? So was Judas separated and chosen. So was Pharaoh raised up. And don't think everybody else isn't raised up by God. And some are vessels under wrath. Who do you think raised up Oral Roberts? Yeah, I'm not afraid to categorically say, because Brother Branham categorically told me that. As I asked him for examples of true vine and false, he said, I'm true, Oral Roberts is false. You better believe he is. Can't you see his record? We ought to be smart enough by this time to know exactly 100% who is false, who is wrong, who is heretical. If we don't know by now, I'll just say this one thing. The second coming is at least 150 years off, if not 2,000. You say, Brother Bill, how can you make such a case? Because the former and latter rain are falling in the time of the latter rain, with the true latter rain being exposed today and coming upon the true former rain or teaching word of Almighty God. The time of the latter rain was God's word coming forth in power. It went to restore the gifts, and people said, this is it. It wasn't it. And it brought forth all the false anointed. The true teaching came forth. And it fell into our souls. And the true latter rain will not bring forth gifts of the Spirit and mockery and hypocrites. It's going to bring forth real sons of God through Adam. Walk to the tree of life and be transformed forevermore. To walk into that glorious millennium. Well, she'll tell you more about it, what's coming up. Oh, yes, the Word of God is full of earth if you let yourself go to believe what the prophet said. Now, I could talk in tongues right then and jump around screaming. I'm not doing it. Why? You just get confused. Put the tongues back somewhere. Put the other gifts back there. Let the Word of God come forth with no uncertain tones. I'm not blowing uncertain tones. You may go away with an uncertain brain. That's your business. I'm not being insulting. I've had it happen to me. Oh, Brother Bale, you said so-and-so. Brother Bale did not say so-and-so. It's your head. It's all on tapes. Bring it up. I have a slip of the tongue. I'll be glad to correct it. If I do tell you something wrong, I'll come back and correct it. You bet. He that planted, he that watereth are one. How one? Same mind, same word, same everything. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Now he's drawn out two perfect pictures here, the way Jesus did. Wolves in sheep clothing and trees. Huh? Now Paul says, a field, a planted field of God. Then he says, a building of God. That's your brother Branham said, in my father's house are many mansions, eh? According to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another man like Paulus, and different ones can build thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds. It must be under the strict revelatory power of the Holy Ghost, agreeing with every word as Paul said it forth. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right. In other words, you start right there. And if you miss him, I don't care what you say about Father and Holy Ghost, forget it. So they can't believe there's a second person, the Brother Branham said there was. They can't believe there's two personalities, two people, two individuals. They're like the Jesus only. They cannot believe that the Son and the Father talked, because you see, the Father is the Son somehow, and you got a mixed up mess like you'll never get out of. Until you get the Son comatose upon the throne. What good a mercy seat or summer? What good is a comatose lawyer? I'm before the judge. I've got him in this, and the lawyer alone can help me. And I'm pleading, hey, do something. He's comatose. How can I plead the blood? How can I plead the word? How can I plead any? My attorney's comatose. Oh, I suppose I could get around that one. Jesus said, there comes a day when you won't ask anything in my name. You'll just go ahead and ask it yourself, so he can be on their comatose and we just go ahead in their own. You can make the Bible say a million things, honey. It doesn't matter what you really want to make it. You can make it say anything. you can even get transmigration of souls out of here if you want. I'm sure we can find it. Or if you step on an aunt, you could be stepping on an uncle. Who knows? See, just a minute, you can't really do it. I can too. Because Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. That's every reprobate also then. Now why stop there? No, don't fool with the Word of God. Now, let's keep reading. For other foundation can no man lay than that's already laid. And Paul laid it in the book of Galatians. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's right today. Made it manifest. The church has been thoroughly analyzed and absolutely diagnosed. Hebrews 4 and 12. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Pillar of fire came right down and did it. This is also a white throne. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work suffer, it shall be burned. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Know ye not, you're the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, God shall destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and the temple, and which temple you are. Now listen, I want you to notice here, Paul is using the singular for the individual, and he's using it for the whole building. Letting you know, as Brother Branham said, you can't put a cat cell upon a dog cell. You can only put word upon word upon word. And if we are not word gene members of God in our souls, then we are not a part of this. It's already predestinated by the master builder, the master architect, the master designer. The omniscient, omnipotent God, and no one can stand against him. This is exactly what we are looking at here. Now, having looked at this, let's go back. Well, to do that, before we go back to the day of Paul, where the trouble started, let's go back to the book of Acts. And we're looking at the seventh chapter, I do believe. All right. Stephen here is speaking, and he's speaking of Moses. And he's speaking on the 32nd verse where Moses trembled before God in a pillar of fire in the bush that didn't burn. Put off the shoes from thy feet, for the place just stands holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hands of the messenger, the angel which appeared to him in the bush. In other words, that pillar of fire there, that Shekinah glory, was a messenger, the manifestation, catching his attention, bringing him a message. God is here, something great's here. Now, he brought them out. After that, he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up with you of your brethren like unto me, him you shall hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angel spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf, a golden calf. See, the golden calf scheme right there. And the golden calf scheme was to take them right back to Egypt under a complete world domination where there was a power present over them that dictated every single thing about them, buying and selling, which merely tells you if you cannot buy and sell, you are locked in lock, stock, and barrel, period. You ain't going nowhere. You've had it. You don't even need to talk about the sign in the hand and the sign in the head, which means the will and the belief, the creeds and dogmas. Because if you can't buy or sell, how are you going to use your hands or your head? So the whole thing is a definitive final takeover. Now notice, they wanted to go back to that. Now remember, Israel couldn't even eat and drink unless they provided their own straw to make bricks, everything. What a terrible condition. And so, but they're willing to go back to it. Why? To get sustenance. to be free. That's why Russia's turning down democracy. It doesn't work for them. There's something in their heart that wants someone to run them. Give them a little borscht and vodka. They'll suffer anything. Now watch. They made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. See, always adding something to something. They couldn't get, Brother Brown said they didn't get away with it. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it's written in the book of the prophets. O you house of Israel, you have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, figures that you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. What is he telling them? There's coming a day when Egypt could look like a Sunday school picnic. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. When did this take place? It took place in the Exodus. When they came out of Egypt. The same as we come out of Babylon in our journey to the promised land, as theirs was Canaan, and ours is the promised land, which is the millennium. This is when Balaam and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up. You follow what I'm saying? This is where you see the picture of the false anointed. This is where you see doing God a service apart from His will, which Brother Branham preached for 2 hours, those full gospel businessmen. And they didn't get it. And he's preaching about leadership now, and they're not getting it. Now, where was the leadership? It was invested in Moses. By God. What other leadership under whom came to the forefront? Balaam under Satan, and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram with genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost, exactly like Balaam, but no bloodlines. The bloodlines were in Israel. You see? And they rose up fully identifying themselves with the grace of God to lead people away from the grace of God. You understand? Now we're talking about leadership. And Brother Branham is talking about turning the corner, the ages, under Luther a leader, under Wesley a leader, under Pentecost a continuation and a complete deterioration of Wesley. That ended up in Pentecost with no leaders. Restoration of the gifts of the Holy Ghost through a baptism with the Holy Ghost, which was genuine for a while, then went into absolutely ingenuine. The ungenuine. Where they gave way to a false evidence, which is not a true evidence of speaking in tongues, when the one true evidence is to be with the Word, as you'll see right here. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy. So we begin to see what we're looking at even before we go into this sermon here. We're laying the groundwork as to exactly what obtained. Now, I'm sure I'm not wrong for 1 minute. I'm sure I'm right when I'm telling you all these things. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Now, Paul is speaking. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, Brother Branham said this is the only place in Scripture, which is his hour, our hour, that it's perilous. Now, the word perilous comes from a Greek word that actually means that it's without strength. It's a period that's let down. Like Brother Branham would keep talking about the little chorus they sang. The sheep got out and the goats came in. How did it happen? He said, you let the bars down. The church let the bars down. Now, when did that start? So that you're getting the Omega. Because this is the Omega of an Alpha, because the first days have to be there for the last days, or there cannot be this. How can you have a last without a first? I'd like to know. You can't have a first day of the week without a last day without the first day. So therefore, where did this occur? It occurred way back there under Moses. It started with the truly revealed word of God to a church, which Israel was a church in the wilderness. Now, having read the seventh chapter of Acts, what did you pick up? You picked up that the one true God, just like that there, appearing on Mount Sinai, appearing in mighty signs and wonders, proving who and what he is, and to whom he wants to be what he is. They joined themselves to idols. And they took up the worship of Moloch, which was fire worship. Huh? Like the fat lady sitting on a red hot plate. Come on, I'm 100% against all this tripe. I don't care what you call it. And if I go to hell saying this, I'm going to stand on the word and say, look, I want to see it in the Bible. This is one thing God forbade, to ever give his children to fire. And I'm going to tell you something. When the three Hebrew children were given to fire, God rescued them because God did not give them to the fire. The devil did, to prove their worship of God. And God destroyed the power of the God of fire by bringing him right through, showing he was God, even as it happened upon Mount Carmel. There's been a lot of Mount Carmel showdowns with God, and people don't want to recognize him. They joined into idolatry at that time. Now, at the time of Paul, they did the same thing. They got into idolatry, spiritual fornication. Now, my Bible tells me at the end time, they've let themselves down to the extent there is nothing even left in human conduct to warrant anybody having faith in humanity. Natural brute beasts. Where was your long-haired beetles, your perverts, your homosexuals, and your complete rotten mess we have it today? Where was it until this hour when Brother Branham took over? When did we have a president so indiscreet to have his wife in Europe and him wanting two women in bed with him at the same time and no doubt getting it? Now you got Clinton with more flusies than ever. You can't find it, brother, sister. Now let's read about our hour of the coming of the Exodus. When these buzzard, full gospel businessmen pretend they're eagles. Completely ravaged by the power of the enemy. For men should be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. So Simpson kills his wife. He beats her up and beats her up. Why didn't somebody do something the time they caught her with only a bra on and some gym pants, and she was saying, he's going to kill me, your eyes all blackened. You know what? Psychologists tell us women like to get beaten up. Now, not you women. You're not that type. And if your husband beats you up, let me know, and we'll take a 4x4 to him. Amen. Give him some of his own medicine. You're not a man. You're a dog. Pit bull. I need to slap in the chops. I just tell you flat. I'm not fooling. If you're insane, that's a different thing. He's a great hero. a wonderful fellow. He's got this streak inside. How come he didn't beat some big men up? Beat his wife up. Well, she kind of must have liked it or something. She went back. They tell me that's what women do. They keep going back until one day they're killed. Then they say, well, she had to cry for help. How hard did she cry? Couldn't have cried very hard. I'm telling you, this is in the Bible that tells you. No natural affection. Truce breakers. Can't believe anybody's word anymore. I'm so disillusioned, I pretty well gave up. Unless it's just see you tomorrow, and I won't be there either myself. Isn't that awful? False accusers, incontinent. You can read about them in the paper. I don't have to explain all this. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. The big sneer. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now you got God brought in here. How can they love God when they love their own selves? Where all their creeds and dogmas have come from. Where the Catholic Church for all these centuries have joined in idolatry. Now the Protestant Church comes along and it says, well, just a minute, we're Protestants. Hogwash, you're Protestant. You came out of the same root the Catholic Church came out of. Just a whore of another color. And different tricks. You wonder why all these sex books are being written today? Catholic Church didn't write them, the Protestants did. They know more tricks than the Catholics. That's just, I'm just giving you a figure in the world what's going on spiritually. Says her daughters that came out of her are going to go to the lake of fire with her. Having a form of godliness, in other words, they lay down all the laws and all what's godliness, pots and pans and this and that, but denying the power thereof, that's the authority, and that which constitutes the drive of authority, because authority's no good unless there's some actual physical power behind it, from such turn away. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins, captive, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now watch. In this hour, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these resist the truth. Two people confronting each other, and one no more belonging to the other than a hyena and a baby confronting each other. They resist truth. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as Jannes and Jambres was also. Now they're going to be destroyed at the time of the rapture, so on. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love and my patience, my persecutions and afflictions. You know how I've endured every single one of these and never turned one hair from the reality I presented to you when I first came on the scene. The unchanging God and the unchanging ministry. But you see, here's what's happened to the church. Now, the church went right down into the grave. But it must have a resurrection. And the resurrection comes through Luther, Wesley, and up and through Pentecost, which is the chaff, until the true life manifests, which life manifested in the chaff only in and through William Branham. It didn't manifest anywhere else. Because they've already been fully infested with the true religion that has already got into it all forms of idolatry. I know the Protestants say, oh, don't tell me. I'm not telling them anything. Here's the Bible. Read it for yourself. Oh, that's not us. Prove it. Prove it. Give me a sign. That's the last sign we had. Discernment, which is judgment. I indict this generation. The whole thing is out there before us. So therefore, Protestant and Rome have the same root, and Protestants are merely branches on the same tree, and the Catholics recognize it, and the Protestants don't. And the only people that the Catholics can possibly go against are the Jesus only. Could it be that's where the foolish virgin are? Don't ask me, I don't know. But you see, the minute you hit Trinity, that is the keynote and that is the key revelation by Thus Saith the Lord, thousands and thousands of vindication proving there is one God, period. And he doesn't have a son who is God the Son. And he doesn't have a partner who is God the Holy Ghost. He is God, one God who is Spirit, who is the Holy Ghost, who has a Son, of whom the Scripture says he's the very essence having outraged from him. Yeah. And if you still haven't caught the picture in Hebrews 2, let me tell you, church, there's something wrong with you sitting here. I'm not wasting my time, of course not. But you need to have your heads and your hearts examined. Because in the midst of the brethren, he sings praises unto God. He leads the bride choir in the glorious anthems. See? Unto Almighty God. And the only reason he can do it, without any shame, no feelings, just joy and gladness that we're with him, we're one source. That's why you can look at David and say he's a man after God's own heart. I don't care what the historians say. I only believe what God said. Now, let me show you something. Israel on the way to Palestine. They raised up the tabernacle. They were given the tabernacle in the wilderness, of which God said to Moses, "See, thou make it according to the pattern I showed thee in the mount," and they did it, right? But my Bible says they raised up a tabernacle to Moloch. So we see the two of them going in. Now, as we see them go in, we see the tabernacle of God going in with Israel, right? Huh? Badger skins, all those. Priesthood, you understand? But, however, there was that stain and strain that went in with them, right? And God said, "Destroy utterly the Canaanite. Get rid of everybody. Otherwise, you will have problems." And everything I've laid out here in this wonderful word, this tremendous tabernacle going in here, will not be coming to its full maturity and where I would want it. Even went to a temple, that was haywire too. But you know, they didn't do it. Now they got the Midianites in there. Now let's just stop a minute. Brother Branham said, just keep your thinking there and listen to me. Brother Branham said he should have had the seed Christ. Now, when God sent Israel into the land, he said, "Listen, get rid of everybody. I don't want any mixed seed." Now, let's talk about breed. Did you know the Aztecs had purple dogs that couldn't stand the sun because they had no hair? How many know that? You saw the picture in the Geographic? Didn't? Come on. You know what they've done recently? They took selective genes, selective breeding, through breeding those dogs, and they have produced a hairless purple dog. What am I talking about? Couldn't the great God of the universe select all the genes if the people of Israel had kept separate and finally brought forth Jesus Christ, the perfect man, identical to Adam? Still wouldn't have worked, though, would it? Eve should have had him. Finally, the relief Mary did. When that son was to come forth, God took and created the two, the sperm and the egg, which merely meant the outward body. And that life came right in there, that same life that was one time in Michael, stepped outside of Michael. Same life came down, took human form, then God stepped inside of him. Don't try to argue these things, just believe them. You try to figure them, you'll go crazy. It's bad enough that I try to figure them. Let me go crazy, and I'm not about to go crazy figuring them. But you see, God by selective breeding couldn't do it. But there's no way it would be done anyway. Because Adam was innocent, he wasn't righteous. For when he was put to the test, he fell. Just like Eve, when Christ was put to the test, he couldn't fall. See? He remembered from way back there. I just brought that as a sidelight. Now, let's go back and look at my picture. We're coming into Palestine. They should have kept themselves pure with the word and pure from the strange flesh. They should have walked in and set their tabernacle up. But what we are going to do, let's bless God and listen to this. We are taking this word, and we as a tabernacle are going into the millennium with the tabernacle, because there will be temple service. Now can you see what's happening and how we're moving in? Now, did you get my point and understanding? Some of you look a little bit puzzled. Now listen, by now, for heaven's sake, not one should be fuddled. Didn't I tell you that Brother Branham said, in the millennium, there's further sanctification, further setting apart. Further, in other words, it's a purifying that we, by the power of God, sanctify and set ourselves apart. Aren't we set apart by the Word? Without this Word, can we go in? No way, shape, and form. Why is this Word? In order to be the people that can go in. Now, listen, they destroyed it by the temple they should have had. They destroyed it by the tabernacle they should have had. Will we destroy it? No, we are going in, and we will establish through God and the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who now is the incarnation of Almighty God, and we'll be there in the temple worship. You just believe what the prophet said. You're going to find everything work out. You don't have to ask any questions. Just believe what he said. Now, that can only happen. I know you're not rejoicing like me, because these things don't mean that much to you. But they mean everything to me, because I'm getting answers. I don't have to live in a befuddled life. Certain things befuddle me here about my flesh. Why don't I get so-and-so-and-so-and-so? Forget it. Yet Paul called his brain power a bunch of dung. Well, my body's no more than a bunch of corruption. My brain's that. So, all right, we see the picture here. Now, Paul here, Brother Branham is talking here about this corner to be turned. And you notice, he talks about his message and the turning of the corner. So, therefore, he talks about himself with Luther, Wesley, William Branham. And when you get that far, there's only one place you can go, because the messengers have run out. And when the messengers run out, the fivefold runs out, the bride runs out, everything runs out, and therefore, headship must come. Now, headship has come in the form of the Holy Ghost bringing the Word. And it's a full Word, and it's the full Holy Spirit. God Himself right here now, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. Call Him what you want. He's actually Jesus, which is Jehovah's Savior. He called Him Christ, which means the Deliverer. He's here. He's here to wind it up. And that same one is going to take us up and then bring us back into what we're talking about. Now, Brother Branham lets you know categorically that He is that one. Now, my point is this to this church and the people on tapes, and we understand, get this flat. The perilous time is this hour in the Exodus to let down the bars, to go without strength. What was the strength of the deer that was wounded? Get to the water to bring back the blood level. Get the corpuscles flowing. Get some help. Life, the waters of life. What are the waters of life? The Word of the living God. Revealed by the Holy Ghost. encased in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost encased in it, down in these genes here. Renewing the inner man, the outer man perishing. But at the right time, there'll be an explosion of grace. And those cells, and we'll literally dissolve what we are now and take on the heavenly. And you'll look just like you are, except some of you guys are too fat and you lose a lot of weight. Now, my nose is big, but it's not going to get any smaller. I'll get my hair back. But first, I don't give rip one way or the other. If it blows, I won't mind if it blows. My hair's like thistle. Like down. It's like God knows what. Fine thread. One wind, it's got 60,000 hairs go 60,000 directions. It won't matter, though. None of those things will matter because we're in an entirely different society. Entirely different set of values. You see, here's the crux right now. How do the people that say they believe this message value this message? Women's little scheme. I'm not down on women. This is cute, like I told you. They say, well, you don't have to cut your hair. You just have so many permanents that'll break off. Does it really matter how you kill somebody with arsenic, a knife, or a shotgun, or a Sherman tank? The point is, you're a dead duck. You know, it's kind of ludicrous, but that's it. So, all right. Right in these, in just three paragraphs, we spend all this time for the introduction to let you know what this man is up against with these people. And I'm going to tell you something. Except for a bunch of us that had faith and loved him and believed in him and believed this word, there wouldn't have been too big a crowd. And we weren't there to get milked by the full gossip businessmen because I wouldn't give him a nickel. Forget it. Forget it. You know, their song is when the saints go marching in with their pockets lined with tin. Oh, I want to be in that number. When those saints go marching in, they ain't going marching in if your pockets are lined with tin. Forget it. Now, you know what tin means? It means lots of moolah. The wealth of this world will corrupt you. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they preach money, money, money. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to preach what's in your heart. Jesus Christ is just a scapegoat for the whole thing, for the big money market, the big money market plan. Why do you think the Pope calls himself the Vicar of Christ? In other words, he's Messiah right here leading the people out into power and over the judgment of this earth, and he's going to sit here supreme. He's telling you that. He said, I'm Messiah. Yeah, I'm your Savior. And he's going to get them too with the gold. Yeah, that's why I said, I should do my little diagram. And I showed you where the gold was. It's right in Rome. And her satellites, every church with all the gold, the gold crosses. Maybe worth $65,000 20 years ago. What's it worth today? Who cares? When they set the price of gold, every Catholic church could be worth $10 billion or $10 billion. Because when you got it all, you set your own price. Why do you think you can go to Dior? Women go to Dior and pay $30,000 for a dress because it's the only one and nobody else ain't going to have one like it. So you got all the gold. You set your price. And when you got one dress from Dior, he sets his price. Some dame in New York sells shirts, $240. I saw one discounted in Schottenstein for $60. I said, I wouldn't give her $20 for the shirt. I can buy better. My books, because she got her stupid name on it. You wait till 666 hits the market. All right, this is the introduction, and Brother Branham is going to open the Bible, and of course he'll pray before he starts reading. And these are my thoughts, looking back all these years, on what was actually there. I'm acting by the grace of God, and I hope it's the grace of God as an historian, to give you the picture. Then whatever comes out, we will have to judge in the light of what he says, being faithful to Almighty God and the ministry God gave him, which is the word of his presence and the doctrine of himself, strictly passive, very little active, and then concerning them who are his host. How will William Branham be a nice man, and yet at the same time his sword will draw blood? What is he going to tell these people who are standing up to lead the church? Because that's what they're going to do. They said, hey, the preachers failed, the fivefold failed, we're going to do it. What's he going to say? Does he tell them to do it? Does he tell them they're wrong? Does he tell them how to mend their ways? Does he tell them what's going to happen? Well, I would suggest it's all there. And I would suggest we start on Wednesday night to try to find out. Wouldn't you suggest that's a good idea? All right, we'll try Wednesday night. Let's rise and be dismissed. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for times of refreshing which you have given, and we know that you gave them mightily under Wesley, where you planted a most tremendous of powerful seed of justification, where the man could see foreknowledge, election, predestination, and saw the startling things in the Word of God. If justification devolved all back upon you, then these other things did, and you were the root and the spring of it all. And he saw it. We appreciate that. And then we saw it go down to seed and organization. We saw Wesley come up with a sanctified life where people were drifting away and before and saying, well, if God's done the whole thing, what does it matter what we are and who we are, where we are and what we do? He's going to get us anyway. And that was a horrible thing to say. And we saw that come. And then we saw the Wesley Church trying to receive some power, but never could get there, knowing that he raised from the dead was the same today and forever. And we saw the Pentecostals come along. We saw the latter rain begin to fall. We saw the power of God manifest in the return of gifts. We saw these things in the Scripture. But then we came to the last time with William Branham, where life is now in the last stage, and those with that same life will come into the garner and be taken up. Now, Lord, we are grateful for that, and we are here, Lord, in these meetings to study this last sermon that Brother Branham gave to the last people that even considered having him, and that under duress, the people that laughed at him, the people that mocked, the people who said, if he's coming, I'm not going. All of these things, Lord, and old Carl Williams standing right there battling for him. God bless his, and Brother Branham would say, his gallant soul gone on, and believe he's with Brother Branham right today with believing the same God that, far as he could believing it 100%, we believe with all our hearts. Now they're gone on, Lord, and we're going on too, and we're taking heed this morning of the perilous time there is in this Exodus, going in just before the great temple worship is established in the great millennial land. Oh, my. We're marching to it. And Lord, I know it doesn't mean what it's going to mean when we get there. This is one time when anticipation in no way will even begin to come anywhere near realization. Though that's the common norm in this life here. But it won't be there, hallelujah, because these old bodies and these old minds and the old spirits and the old natures, everything going to be gone, 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 burned in the fire of God's tremendous, beautiful love for us and going in the purity of holiness. Oh, yes, 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 the incarnate God leading us. Bride going in and that great worship. What a day it will be, Lord, to know that there's nothing to hinder us anymore. There's no bars. It's just the freedom, oh God. Here we breathe and we're breathing in noxious gases and things we don't even know are there. Drink water and it's polluted. But over there, hallelujah, perfect people for a perfect place. How marvelous and what wonderful worship. And we're looking forward to it, Lord. And we're believing with all our hearts that absolutely realization is going to be no comparison to what we're anticipating. We just know it's there. But to enter into it and to enter in and to feel the, as one would say, and enjoy the nuances, the little ripples, the little beautiful touches. Oh, God, the hues. Coming out like light through the prism, light breaking over the desert. How fabulous, how beautiful, how glorious. And every cell in our body able to appreciate, not just seeing with their eyes, but seeing with the soul and absorbing. What a tremendous thing. We'd like to think we got some now, and thank God we do a little bit. But Lord, that day in the fullness, bless your people, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us. Cause us to rejoice. Bring us all back more and more vigorous toward the things of God, realizing more and more full of the Holy Ghost. Pile word upon word. Let the word flow like torrents. Let it descend upon our souls and the life thereof. Nurture us and bring us forth in thine image unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, their Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.